Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. A warm welcome to Rosedale United Church. God be with you this morning. My name is Kristen Phillipson. I'm one of the ministers here at Rosedale United Church. And joining me today in leadership is Norm Nermy, who is our accompanist. And we have a special quartet from our choir, Catherine, Mariana, Valdis, and Christopher. Ben is always on sound. We're so pleased to be with you, and we're really, really thrilled that you are here with us today. Rosedale United Church is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. And every Sunday when we're together, it's a good time just to have set this time apart to connect with God and with our own spirit, to center ourselves at the start of another week, to be nourished by all that we're going to hear and strengthened by community. This is a chance to reorient and realign ourselves, and today to celebrate Thanksgiving. We are grateful that you have chosen to be here. Rosedale United Church is proud to be an affirming congregation. Here we represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. Whoever you are and wherever you are at, know that you are welcome here. If this is your first time with us, and if you're here with young people, I want you to know that it's totally okay to stand up at any time during the service and to move around. We do have a kids area at the back, and there are activity packs there for different age groups. Also, if you're a first timer, our e-newsletter is the best way to figure out what's all going on around here. It's called the Keeping in Touch, or KIT for short. And you can talk to me about subscribing to that. We also have tea and coffee always after the service, and we hope that you'll stay and chat and just enjoy being with community. That takes place right through that door there, right after the service. We're also always looking for folks to help with tea and coffee, and so just an alert today, Judy Lalonde, can you put your hand up, Judy? Yeah, if you're someone who's never done tea or coffee and you're like, yeah, that sounds pretty easy volunteer role for me, Judy is the woman that you want to speak to. All kinds of great stuff going on at the Rosedale Hub, which is our center that supports human flourishing here. I do invite you to take a good long look at your order of service and to flag those activities that you might want to participate in. We are encouraging folks to donate to the food bank today. Many thanks to Wendy and Sally for our wonderful Thanksgiving display up at the front. Wendy's going to be taking all of the brown bags of food over to the fire hall later today, and we're encouraging everyone in our congregation to donate to the food bank as well. The next opportunity that this community is going to have to do so as a group will come on November 1st. We'll be having our community dinner, and all the proceeds of that go to the food bank. Some other notes of thanks that I want to lift up today. A couple of weeks ago, we sent out an invite asking for volunteers to help clean and reorganize our downstairs kitchen and hall. And a small group of people put in, I would say, almost a good solid week doing that. And I just want to thank publicly those who gave their time to do that. The kitchen downstairs looks fabulous. So big thanks to Kathy Smith, Allison Wage, Wendy Dryden, and Susan Vance. And I also want to thank another person in our community this morning. Can I ask Sheila Martin to stand up? Sheila, can you stand? We are thanking this morning Sheila for being a part of this community for more than 30 years. And We're thanking her today because on Tuesday, Sheila will be moving back to the UK, where she will be living right next door to one of her daughters and much closer to all of her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And Sheila, I just want to say on behalf of us all at Rosedale United that you have been a valued and compassionate member of this congregation. We will miss you, and we wish you every happiness and blessing in this new chapter. The flowers today are in loving memory of George Francis Vance, an educator, field naturalist, and advocate for the environment, in celebration of his life on this day, his birthday. And those flowers are placed from Susan Vance and her family. We are grateful for the opportunity to gather on this land. It is the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River. This territory was the subject of the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, which is an agreement between First Nations and allied people to peaceably share and care for the resources around the Great Lakes. And now, I want to invite us all to stand as we move more deeply into this time of thanksgiving. Will you join with me as we call ourselves to worship? With our hearts overflowing with thankfulness, we are called to gather and praise you, God. We gather here to thank you for the fruits you have given us in abundance. We gather here thankful that you have given us water in abundance. We gather here to thank you for the food you have given us in abundance. We gather to thank you for the trees and flowers that beautify our world. We gather to thank you for the talents that you have developed in us. We gather to thank, worship, and praise you for all we have received in abundance, and we sing for the fruit of all creation.
Thank you.
friends, we turn and greet one another with the peace of Christ. And as we do so, we say, "Peace be with you." And the response is, "And also with you." I especially invite you to turn to people you haven't met yet and don't know. I invite you to be seated, and we'll join in our refrain, blessing our learning. This is what we sing when our kids normally would go off to Sunday school. That's not happening today, so a reminder that we do have the activity packs at the back. But it's also our chance to bless our learning. As we're in this sanctuary, we're learning, we're growing, we're being inspired to serve. And so, I invite you. This is called God Loves Me. So this morning, instead of one long sermon, I thought that I would write several meditations on thankfulness. This is the first of them, and they flow through our service today. If there's a question as to why we celebrate Thanksgiving, science has a clear and rational answer. Being grateful is a positive intervention that we can take to promote our personal well-being. According to the Human Flourishing Program at Harvard University's Institute for Quantitative Social Science, there is measurable evidence that the practice of gratitude makes us happier and physically healthier. In a randomized trial, people assigned to think of five things for which they were grateful once a week for 10 weeks had better feelings about life, they felt better physically, and they actually slept better than those people who didn't actively practice gratitude. In another study, a randomized group of people assigned to write down three things that went well for them each day for just 1 week were happier and had lower incidences of depression up to 6 months later. Of course, we must give thanks. Scientific research confirms it is an effective practice and intervention. There is a science to Thanksgiving. And so I have to wonder what makes us bring our gratitude here to a place of faith. My youngest brother got married last June, and at the wedding ceremony, one of his friends read a poem called On Mystery by a 19th century poet named Henri Frédéric Amiel. It opens with this line, "Let mystery have its place in you." I just love that line. Let mystery have its place in you. For me, it fully articulates in one short line my experience as a person of faith. And I have no qualms with reason or logic, but mystery. Mystery is something that I treasure. More often than not, I'm conscious of so much that I can't explain. Leave a little fallow corner in your heart, the poet writes, ready for any seed the winds may bring. Well, this past week, the wind blew into the sanctuary here at Rosedale United Church, a young woman accompanied by two of her family members. They said they wanted a blessing, and also they wanted to acknowledge a mystery, a sense of already feeling blessed. They'd ended up in this sanctuary out of a sense of gratitude, not because they conjured it as an intervention. They were grateful in response to something completely mysterious. I'd never met the young woman before. She herself had no connection to this church. The young woman was pregnant and happy to be so. It was her third pregnancy, they told me. Her first two had ended in loss. She wasn't naive, and neither were her family members. She understood that there was every chance this pregnancy would end in exactly the same way. Still, she'd come to the sanctuary to articulate a sense of being blessed. Not because she was certain everything would work out as she wanted it to, but rather because of a mysterious feeling of being strengthened, companioned, and protected in spite of it all. It is a mystery when a person who was at one time totally hopeless finds themselves able to hope again. It is a mystery how someone so visibly bruised by life, two pregnancy losses, can find the courage to try again. It is a mystery that someone who's had their faith totally dashed can find themselves with enough faith to go on and go forward. All I can say is that the grace of God is a mystery. God's grace is a mystery, a curtain over a window covering a vast view. But sometimes, if we're lucky, the curtains part just a crack and we can see through. Sure, you can conjure gratitude and it's proven to boost your well-being. But when you catch a glimpse of the mystery that surrounds us, and when that mystery has a place in you, well, gratitude is just what you feel in response. Sometimes all you can do is come into this sanctuary and bask in the candlelight and utter this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. An invitation to silence, and then our gathering prayer. Let us pray. Creator of all, you fill us with good things. In this harvest season, we revel in the things of fall. You pour contentment into your people and also an ache. In this season of plenty, give us hunger, we pray. Holy One, receive our prayers. We pray these words of Jesus. O loving parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Be assured of this, God loves us, forgives us, and sets us free. We are at peace.
In Scripture, God speaks to each of us. Listen for the voice of God. A reading from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Herein is wisdom. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Mariana. Opening the theme this morning, our theme is permeating everything so far. It's Thanksgiving, obviously. It's gratitude. I want to invite you into a time of silent meditation. This is just in your own heart to reflect on that question of what am I thankful for today? What am I grateful for today? Norm's going to play some music to facilitate this for you. And then I will come around with the microphone. I don't normally do this, but it's Thanksgiving, and I'd really like to hear what you're thankful for, and I think other people would too. So after that brief moment of personal reflection, anyone who wants to share is welcome to do so. So the invitation is open. There's never any pressure. But for those who may want to share what they're grateful for today, I invite you just to stand up and I'll come and bring the microphone.
I'm grateful that I'm going to have a delicious dinner tonight with my family. The youngest is 2 and the eldest will be 101.
I'm grateful for our new friends that we met a year ago, Christopher and Maria Jackal, who are here in Canada from Bavaria. Christopher's studying at U of T, and we're very happy to have met them and to know them and welcome them to Rosedale United today.
I'm grateful for seeing my grandparents that I haven't seen in a good long while.
So much. any last gratitude that you want to lift up?
I'm really grateful for my 30 years.
Okay, I'm really grateful for my 30 years in this beautiful country, and I will miss it.
Thank you, Sheila.
I'm very grateful that I was able to, after 5.5 years, visit my mother for 9 days and celebrate her 88th birthday.
For all of these gratitudes that we have lifted up and all of the gratitude that is silent that we're carrying within our hearts, we give thanks. The story of Jesus and the 10 lepers is a story our lectionary highlights every year at Thanksgiving. It is a story with a surprise twist. The person least expected to show gratitude is, in the end, the only one who does. It is a story that wants us to ask, what does it matter if we're grateful, if no one ever knows it, if our lives don't ever show it? The Samaritan in the story should be a model for us all. Jewish people in Jesus' time were suspicious of Samaritans. Centuries before, the Samaritans shared the same faith and practices of the people of Israel. They were all a part of the kingdom of Israel, but a disagreement over the line of succession divided the kingdom in two. The Samaritans were part of the northern kingdom, which was soon invaded by the Assyrians and its people dispersed and assimilated, secularized, you might say. The Samaritans weren't considered to be good examples of faithfulness. Now, we don't actually know that most of the people in the story that Jesus healed weren't grateful. They may very well have been. But the trouble is that they don't show it. Only the Samaritan makes his gratitude visible. In high school, I used to spend hours at the home of Marcia and Gary Bruns. They were the parents of one of my best friends. They had a family of five, and they lived in a tiny bungalow. I guess it was maybe half the size or even a quarter of the size of the house in which I grew up. After school, the whole group of us girls would barge in, dump backpacks, kick off our shoes, leave our coats in a pile on the floor, because you see, we felt welcome and comfortable and accepted and at home. Every Friday, Gary would bake bread, and it would be sitting out to cool in the kitchen after school, and we'd descend around the loaves like desperate crows. And then we'd leave knives dripping with peanut butter and jam out on the counter. We'd run out to their backyard and scream and jump on the trampoline and play our music loudly. And then all sweaty, we'd pile onto their living room couch to monopolize the TV with our favorite shows, which at the time were The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Growing Pains, and we'd shriek every time Leonardo DiCaprio came on the screen. We must have been so annoying. I said this to Gary and Marcia when I went to visit them recently. Why on earth did you put up with us? I asked. Well, Marcia said, we had a lot to be thankful for, and we wanted people to know it. They had a house, and they wanted people to be in it. And they were grateful to be alive, and so they loved the sounds of life. And they were in love, and they wanted people to feel loved and cared for. They were thankful for what they had, and their gratitude was visible in their generosity and their forgiveness and their patience. Well, they must have been saints, you might be thinking. But I have to tell you, Gary and Marcia never went to church. They still don't. I mean, they weren't models of faithfulness. They might as well have been Samaritans. Now, I know we're all in here because we're grateful. But back out there, who in the world feels it? Does anyone see it? Oh God, may our lives reveal our gratitude by the generous way we share what we have graciously received. In a moment, I'm going to invite us to stand and sing, but first, I want you to listen to Norm play the tune of the chorus and verse of this hymn. It's new to us, so listen, and then when you see our quartet stand, we'll invite you to as well. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Please be seated. Let us pray. We are gathered, grateful and in thanksgiving in response to you, loving God, and our consciousness of your Spirit in our lives. You have strengthened us with capacity and with courage to learn and grow, and with passion to care and to serve. You inspire us, and in response we gather grateful. We have thanks in our hearts for beauty and wonder, for all the ways that we have enough and are enough for each other, for consciousness and our ability to reflect and change, for heart, for health, for people who are brave and kind and who pursue peace and justice and science. Help us to see how we are provided for, even through adversity. Help us to be people who provide for and protect others. Help us to live for this moment as nurturers and carers of a tender future. And let our thanksgiving be expressed not only in feasting, but in sharing, not only in passive enjoyment, but in active service, not only in annual observance, but in daily attitude. And because your concern for wholehearted living embraces every person upon the earth, we name now, in the silence of our hearts, our prayers for ourselves and for others. Amen. I invite you to join me in our response. It's in your bulletin. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. And so, in response to these prayers, you are invited in this moment to a response and an offering. For you, that might look like lighting a candle at any one of the stations as a way of bringing light to a person or a place that you're holding. That may look like sharing an offering with the life and work of this church, and if you want to do so, the box is at the back. You might also choose just to sit in peace and to listen while Norm's playing and just have a moment of silence, and that may be your offering in this moment. Everything is welcome. And so, I invite you. I'm going to light a candle, and I want to name it for Sheila. As she travels, I light a light for safe journey, for a sense of peace for you, Sheila, and rightness in your heart, and an ease of all fear, and a consciousness of love.
Catherine and I will sing O Lovely Peace. It's a duet from Handel's oratorio, Judas Maccabeus. We are singing the roles of an Israeli woman and man who have received news that Rome is willing to form an alliance with the Jews. The people rejoice that peace has at last come to their country. Given the recent events in Israel, may we ask you to think of everyone in the region and pray that the peace we sing about now may come and come soon. Wishing you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Catherine and Mariana. When I was in theological college, I took a course called Clinical Pastoral Education. It took place in a hospital, and we were learning about providing spiritual care to people in crisis. One of my classmates was visiting with an older woman, very religious, whose husband was gravely ill. My classmate asked her whether she could perceive God's presence with her, even now. Even in the hospital, was there anything or anyone for which she was grateful? And the question baffled the woman. Gratitude to God was what you expressed when things were good, when your bank account was bulging, when your health was robust, when your children succeeded, when you were admired by all. But the idea of finding anything to give thanks for in a hospital, well, it just didn't make sense to this woman. Do you remember the comic strip For Better or For Worse by the cartoonist Lynn Johnston? My mom would always be clipping out from the newspaper the For Better or For Worse strips that most resonated with her or made her laugh. One in particular stayed pinned to the door of our fridge for years. The first frame shows Ellie Patterson, the mom and the main character of the comic, talking on the phone with a friend. "You did what with the bedpan?" she says. "I don't believe it. You're too much," she says, bursting with laughter. In the next frame, she hangs up the phone and bursts into tears. Her daughter, April, walks into the room and asks, "What's going on?" "Well, I have a good friend who's dying," Ellie says. "When I talk to him, he makes me laugh. But when I hang up the phone, I cry," she says. "Mom," April says, "you're having a rainbow day when it's raining and the sun shines at the same time." I think that comic strip really helped me to understand the theology of gratitude. How we can feel a sense of God's blessing and respond in thanksgiving, even when our lives are not going as planned. It is possible for our hearts to feel more than one thing, for our ears to hear more than one note in the song of life. What I have come to know for sure about life and living is that pain is a constant part of our experience. It's a note that plays without stopping, sometimes loudly, when the pain is very personal, blocking out almost all other sound, and sometimes softly, in the distance, when the pain is more removed, over there perhaps, on another continent. But always and throughout life, I'm aware that suffering is a constant note. But my experience moving through life as a person of faith is akin to always hearing another note played alongside this first one and so holding it in tension. My faith helps me to hear two notes at the same time. Pain and beauty, pain and goodness, pain and kindness, pain and compassion, pain and courage. As I listen, suffering is never able to overpower the sound of the other note. I can still discern the presence of grace. Today, I am thankful, not because I've arrived at a place of having everything, but because when I am wanting, when I feel I don't have enough, even then I have a sense of being filled and sustained. Today I'm thankful because I can hear that other note, the mysterious song of God's grace. May you keep your ears open. Sometimes it's all I can do to keep from singing. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices. Will you stand and join me? And so we have had this time of sharing in the mystery together, in letting it have a little place inside of us. And so as we go, may we share our gratitude and help others to feel the mystery of God's grace. We sing our blessing together.